All right, let's start with the San Francisco 49ers. You got this news late Friday. It was the inevitable news that they are moving on from their quarterback, if you want to say that, their third-string quarterback, in Trey Lance. As Trey Lance is getting traded from the San Francisco 49ers to the Dallas Cowboys for a fourth-round pick. Now, here is my reaction when I got it on Friday night. Because I said this before Friday, that the San Francisco 49ers should not trade Trey Lance, but I think they were going to trade Trey Lance. The first reaction was, Jerry Jones of the drama Dallas choking Cowboys, well, the season just started a few weeks earlier because there's going to be a Dak Prescott element to it. But on the other side of it, and we'll circle back to that coming up in a bit, I looked at the 49ers side of it. I was surprised the 49ers got a fourth round pick because people are talking about fifth, sixth round pick. This is a quarterback that they move mountains to go get. But with that being said, this was someone that they did not want after four career starts. One was in a monsoon up against the Chicago Bears. And the second one, he got hurt up against the Seattle Seahawks. So after that quick of time and that little evaluation, for an organization to want to move on from someone, regardless of what they said, it was not going to result in this heist of a return for the San Francisco 49ers. But all things considered, if you felt like you had to get rid of Trey Lance, getting back a fourth-round pick is the richest return you were going to get and probably better than what you could have expected. But with that being said, ask yourself this. Would you rather have Trey Lance on the roster this year if you're a fan of the San Francisco 49ers, or would you rather have the fourth-round pick? And my immediate answer is I would rather have Trey Lance on the roster compared to the fourth-round pick, because you look at the San Francisco 49ers team in the last three, 4 years. Every year, it seems like, bare minimum, they're in an NFC title game. I know they got to the Super Bowl that 1 year where they lost to Kansas City. But this has been a rotating door at the quarterback position, where at first you trade for Jimmy Garoppolo. Then you flirt with Kirk Cousins. Then Jimmy G is your guy. Then it's going to be Trey Lance because you didn't feel like Jimmy G could get the job done. Then it's back to Jimmy Garoppolo. Then it's Brock Purdy. And in this offseason, even though they've said Brock Purdy, it's his job to lose, and to be fair, he's going to be their starting quarterback, so you take them for their word, and they deliver on that, even at other times where you kind of roll your eyes whenever they speak about the quarterback position. But then they bring in Sam Darnold, and they immediately hype up Sam Darnold. Where now, like, Sam Darnold is viewed as this guy that, if it doesn't work with Brock Purdy, all of a sudden I'm supposed to have confidence in Sam Darnold? Sorry, I don't. I've said this numerous times. I'll say it again. Sam Darnold's known for two things in the NFL: getting mono and seeing ghosts. So I look at this fourth-round pick that you got back for a team that you evaluate their roster, excellent in the trenches on both sides of the ball, phenomenal run game led by Run CMC, two receivers who are really good in Debo Samuel, my BFF, and Brandon Ayuk, and a phenomenal tight end in Mr. Kittle. You look at this team, the San Francisco 49ers are loaded at every position, but the quarterback's still a question mark. And it's amazing to me, even in a small sample size, and I get it, the guy didn't lose a game, and I know then he got hurt and they lost in the NFC Championship game, but he was 5-0 in the regular season in games that he started and finished, and then 2-0 in the postseason in games that he started and finished. So there's a reason to be optimistic about Brock Purdy, but when your season is a Super Bowl or bust season, I would rather have the insurance on the roster of a Trey Lance if it doesn't work out with Brock Purdy, and if Sam Darnold is Sam Darnold and what he's been in the NFL, compared to a fourth-round pick. So that's why I believe it's a mistake by the San Francisco 49ers. Because I don't really give a rat's ass about the fourth-round pick. I don't know if Trey Lance's career is shot. I don't know if Trey Lance can't play football. I don't know if he can't be a starting quarterback in this league. Because we haven't seen a lot of him. We've only seen him start four games. And that's why it's still like inconceivable to me how, with all the math that we just added up, we got to the end result that the San Francisco 49ers already gave up on Trey Lance. And if you go through this quarterback situation the last few years, they change the quarterback in San Francisco all the time. So it would not shock me, even though you look at this roster and this roster's loaded and they've been able to get really far in spite of the quarterback, if we're sitting here 6-7 weeks into the regular season and it's, Brock Purdy's playing for his job. But if that's the case, the next guy off the bench is Sam Darnold. And I know the 49ers already told you Darnold was going to be 2 and Trey Lance was going to be 3, and that's what started the trade conversations. But that's a mistake to me. For your insurance policy right now to be Sam Darnold and only Sam Darnold. Because I can't rely on Brock Purdy, and I can't rely on Sam Darnold. And I get it. You could say, Zach, you call me up at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Well, you can't rely on Trey Lance as well. Sure. But this was an organization 2 years ago. They traded 3 first-round picks to go get Trey Lance. They had a belief level in him. And you know me. I despise the word potential. Because potential means you haven't done it yet. But in this case, you look at the upside is there with Trey Lance, and there's more upside with Trey Lance than there is Sam frickin' Darnold. So I look at this move that the Niners made. I don't think it's worth it for a 4th-round pick, and I think it's a mistake to not have more insurance on your roster of guys that maybe could get the job done. Because if Brock Purdy gets hurt, or if Brock Purdy's no longer rocking out with his Brock out and looking Purdy awesome, I know for sure Sam Darnold ain't going to do crap. Because I've seen Sam Darnold with the Jets fail. I've seen Sam Darnold with the Carolina Panthers fail. And I get it. You could say, but Zach, this is the greatest situations he's ever in. Give me the 5 tangible plays in the short career of Sam Darnold so far, but where he's got a lot of reps, where you could tell me, yeah, there's 5 plays that I really believe in this guy. They don't exist. And I don't care what the situation is. I don't care who the coach is, who your players are. If you're a franchise quarterback and you've been given that many opportunities as Sam Darnold's been given, you should be able to have at least 5 tangible plays that I could say, okay, I can get behind this guy and give him the benefit of the doubt. But I can't do that with Sam Darnold. This is not anti-49er. This is not in the aftermath of the Deebo Samuel interview. Oh, Zach just hate on the 49ers. I don't think this was a smart decision. And it's all about insurance. And Trey Lance is a better insurance policy and a better option for the 49ers this year than a future 4th-round pick. So that's the Niners side of this. Now let's get to the Dallas Cowboys side of this. The first reaction I have when you look at the Dallas Cowboys doing this is I did not expect them to be in the mix to add Trey Lance. With that being said, though, I think there is a great overreaction in the last 3 or 4 days from the Cowboys giving up a 4th-round pick for Trey Lance. The first part is everyone freaking out that Jerry Jones didn't consult Dak Prescott. Jerry Jones didn't consult Mike McCarthy about this. Does he need to? I don't think so. This is Jerry Jones' organization. Jerry Jones does it his way or the highway. And giving up a 4th-round pick for a quarterback that was in one of the better organizations in sports right now and with one of the better NFL teams, they don't believe in him. Just because he gives up a 4th-round pick doesn't mean that he's a danger right now to Dak Prescott. So just because you're trading for a guy that right now is regarded as a backup quarterback, you need to have a conversation with Mike McCarthy. You need to have a conversation with Dak Prescott before you say, okay, we want to do this deal? I don't think so at all. I don't think so whatsoever. And on the other side of this, people today saying, hey, Dak better watch his back in Dallas. If Dak Prescott is concerned for 1 second about Trey Lance, and if he feels threatened at all by Trey Lance, I don't want Dak Prescott as my quarterback. And I don't know Dak Prescott's true feelings of this. I'm sure a lot of it is Dak Prescott immune at this point, even though we're all human beings and we have emotions and we have feelings, because Dak Prescott has been involved with the drama Dallas choking Cowboys for a long time. He's seen almost everything you need to see being the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. And Dak shouldn't be concerned about Trey Lance for a single second because Trey Lance has done crap in this league. He's done jack. So he's going to get all caught up, and people are now going to start overreacting to Dak's future in Dallas? Like, what are we doing here? Dak Prescott has his own issues to worry about. The last 2 years, Dak Prescott hasn't stepped up and delivered in the postseason. Dak Prescott shouldn't spend a single second thinking about Trey Lance, who started four bleeping games in the NFL so far. Dak, you have a talented defense. Dak, you have enough on offense. Go get the job done this year. And if you waste 1 second thinking about Trey Lance, or if you're intimidated by Trey Lance, I don't believe in you. That means you're not the guy. It doesn't matter who they bring in. Be one thing if they actually brought in a quarterback that has had some success in this league. But there's no way right now Dak should feel threatened by Trey Lance. Because a better coach, a better organization, and a better roster just told you, we didn't even believe in Trey Lance to make him the backup. We wanted him as the third string quarterback. And they were jumping for joy when the Cowboys offered a fourth round pick for him. You need to be intimidated. You need to feel threatened by that guy. Bunch of nonsense. Bunch of overreaction. So that's the two things I have from this. I thought it was a mistake by the 49ers to trade Trey Lance. And the Cowboys side of it, what a great overreaction. And I get it. It's low-hanging fruit. And I call him the drama Dallas choking Cowboys for a reason. So I'm probably a part of that. But it's just easy to make a dramatic situation and stir one up. This, to me, is a non-issue. Let me get to Hot Take Hickey here right out of the gate. Give me your reaction, 49ers angle of this, Cowboys angle of it. You could approach it whichever way you want first.
49ers, I'm with you. I don't think they should have traded Trey Lance. I don't think in a Super Bowl or a bust year that a fourth-round pick is going to help you in case you have, again, quarterback injuries, where Peter King pointed this out, and it's, again, eye-opening for me, just hammers home the point why they shouldn't have traded him. Kyle Shanahan's been in San Francisco 6 years. 4 out of 6 years, they've used or needed three quarterbacks. So history is going to tell you more times than not, the 49ers are going to need help from multiple quarterbacks. And so to give one away for a later round pick, for me, I wouldn't have done it. I'm with you. From the Cowboys' perspective, this is what I'll say. I think if you're Dak Prescott, so many times we've looked at this situation between Dak and the Cowboys as what? Does Dallas want Dak? Do they want to extend him? Should they extend him?
Which
they
try
to trade him. Right, and they've extended him once, and now all of a sudden with 2 years left in his deal, the question is, will they extend him again?
And real quickly, he went toe-to-toe with Jerry Jones, and he won.
He did. He got the extension he wanted, and again, he, as you could say, you know, maybe took longer than it should, whatever. Anyway, the point is, if you're Dak, I think this trade should send a message to you that maybe there are greener pastures outside of Dallas. We've talked about this conversation so long of, should Dallas want Dak? I think now if you're Dak, you got to look at it and say, do I want Dallas?
Fair point.
Do I want to work for an owner or play for an owner that is going to pay a running back before me, is going to talk about how they wanted to draft Jalen Hurts in the third or fourth round? Obviously, didn't happen. Traded for Trey Lance. The contract negotiations, he won. Right? He got paid and got paid a good amount. But it played out publicly, dragged out for over a year, and it felt like, at least perception-wise, Jerry Jones begrudgingly extended Dak. So he talks a big game of, oh, we love Dak, he's our guy, I believe in him. Their actions, though, always say different. So if you're Dak, I think now, if anything, I wouldn't sign an extension if I was him. Play out 2023, play out 2024, and see where the market takes you from there.
So you're telling me if they offer you a record-breaking deal, you're not willing to accept that just because of this deal that just transpired?
I don't think they're going to come close to that. That's part of the reason why I'm saying that. Like, I think they're hoping in this contract to, again, bring down his cap number. So I don't think they're going to just blow it out of the water.
But why should Dak, this is what I can't wrap my head around. Why should Dak give a rat's ass about the Dallas Cowboys giving up a fourth round pick for Trey Lance? Well, he shouldn't even care about Trey Lance. Trey Lance isn't a threat to him. As I know, I'm a big critic of Dak Prescott. I think he's a good quarterback, not a great quarterback. But Dak Prescott runs circles around Trey Lance, and Trey Lance hasn't proven anything yet. So you're the alpha, right? You're the leader of that team. That's your offense. They bring this guy in, I'm okay with my team for a backup quarterback giving up a fourth-round pick. Because, to be fair, I know Cooper Rush is still on the roster, and he played well. But Dak Prescott, if you're being honest, like the Cowboys, I understand it from their kind of thinking too. Dak's been hurt 2 out of the last 3 years. And that then, that's when this becomes an issue. If Trey Lance gets on the field when Dak is hurt and Trey Lance lights it up, that's when this becomes an issue. But right now, it's a non-story.
Do you think he's going to get on the field?
If Dak gets hurt, I think it's a possibility, yeah.
Like, if Cooper, they were 4-1 with Cooper Rush last year.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're Dak, I think you can also look at this and say, if I'm hurt again, my backup's pretty good. Like, they're what? Because even go back to a few years ago, he missed, what, one game against the Vikings or whatever? Like, they've won a lot of games that Cooper Rush has played in. It's like, do you really need to waste, quote-unquote, draft capital for a guy? And Jerry Jones himself said it on Saturday night. He has no anticipations for and hopes not to need Trey Lance at any point this year. If you're Dak, I just feel like that's one of those where it's not Trey Lance's move specifically, but it's kind of a confluence of things throughout your career. It's always something, and it's always something with your owner about something that takes away from on the field.
It is Zach Gelb show on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. Let's go to Larry in Florida, first up on the show. Larry, what do you got?
Zach, good afternoon. How are you?
Doing great. What do you got for us?
You're always good. The San Francisco agreed with you. They believe that it's a Super Bowl or bust year, so, and they want the three quarterbacks who can play. They just trusted Allen more than they trusted number five, and that's why they traded number five, because he was going to be the fourth quarterback, even behind Allen. They trusted Allen more, and that's why they traded him to Dallas.
Well, let me ask you this, Larry. Do you think Brandon Allen has more upside for this season if the Niners needed to get to a third-string quarterback than Trey Lance?
No, but they did. That's how they made the decision. That was the 49ers' choice. They just trusted Allen in case a big spot during the season and they need a third-string quarterback more than they trusted Lance. And that's why they traded Lance and kept Allen.
All right, Larry, appreciate the phone call. And that, once again, goes back to show you something I've been saying now for over a year. Kyle Shanahan was talked into drafting Trey Lance. That was not the guy he wanted when they moved mountains to go get him. It's just still amazing to me how quickly they gave up on Trey Lance. And you know what? It would serve him right at some point in the season if, let's say, Brock Purdy loses magic touch, if Sam Darnold's been the quarterback that he's been for the last 3-4 years, if they need to go play Brandon Allen. And I bet you then they would be saying, man, what if we had Trey Lance? It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. When we come on back, a big sports source-off between Hot Take Hickey and Ian Rappaport. We got the details on that for you next. The Zach Gelb Show is sponsored in better part by BetterHelp. Sometimes in life, we're faced with tough choices and the path forward isn't always clear. Whether you are dealing with decisions around career, relationships, or anything else, therapy helps you stay connected to what you really want while you navigate life so you can move forward with confidence and excitement. Trusting yourself to make decisions that align with your values is like anything. The more you practice it, the easier it gets. Therapy can give you the tools to find more balance in your life so you can keep supporting others without leaving yourself behind. You know, we have all been through some unpredictable times over the past few years, and it's not a sign of weakness to ask for help. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Gelb, G-E-L-B, today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Gelb.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Just saw this news during the break that the Chargers have waived seventh-round pick Max Duggan. Remember Max Duggan from last year, Heisman Trophy finalist, ended up being the quarterback at TCU, led them all the way to the national championship game, Should have got the ball in the Big 12 championship game, but Sonny Dykes, who I've said this to before, made a mistake taking the ball out of Max Duggan's hands not once but twice down at the goal line. Then they would have won the Big 12 championship as well, but that was excused because they ended up getting the college football playoff. They lose to the national champs in Georgia, but the round prior to that, they did defeat Michigan. But that's always crazy, Hickey, where you have a guy who was dominant in college football last year. And we know, right? We've seen guys that get drafted way earlier than Max Duggan. The guy's a seventh-round pick, for crying out loud. But you've seen guys like Johnny Manziel, first-round pick. Tim Tebow, first-round pick. Heck, even earlier in the first round, when a guy like Jamarcus Russell have a great college career, or Marcus Mariota, or Jameis Winston as well, and they get into the NFL, and just because you were a good college quarterback does not mean that translates to the NFL. But to get waived and not even get to be on the roster and be a second or third string quarterback, and I know a lot of quarterbacks or a lot of teams that only carry two quarterbacks, it's kind of crazy where last year all we did after like 5 or 6 weeks of the college football season nonstop was talk about a guy in Max Duggan and this wonderful, magical season that he was having at TCU. And now we sit here today as you get set for cutdown day tomorrow, and he doesn't even have a home. Maybe he ends up getting on the practice squad. Easton Stick, though, is their backup right now. And you look at the backup names, too, and you see like who the names that are out there that latch on in this league, and you look at a lot of their college careers. I know Easton Stick was a part of that North Dakota State program, but a lot of these guys, you go, oh, I don't even remember much of them when they were playing in college football. So it's a crazy game. The QB depth charts and who makes it and who doesn't coming in from college.
Feel bad, obviously, for Max Duggan. I'm sure he's going to get picked up, practice squad, another team. But, hey, good day for North Dakota State. One quarterback could have won the backup job in Trey Lance. Another quarterback did. So look at that. It all balances out. And just the quarterback we thought would be the backup bare minimum now won the job.
And then also, let's get back into the biggest news just to give you the poll question as well, as we will unveil that for today. Was it a mistake by the 49ers to trade Trey Lance, what Hickey is alluding to, with Trey Lance being named the third-string quarterback of the 49ers, and then they trade him over the weekend to the Dallas Cowboys for a fourth-round pick? I think it's a mistake. Hickey thinks it's a mistake as well. But you in the listening audience right now disagree. 55.2% say that it was not a mistake. 44.8% agree with Hickey and I that it was a mistake. By the way, I got to go back to last week. This was on Wednesday's show, because now we are having a big, I guess you could say, source off, or at least media feud between our hot take Hickey and Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. So, Ryan, play me your take. This was on Wednesday of last week, where Hickey was getting annoyed with all the chatter about Jonathan Taylor and how everyone's saying Jonathan Taylor may be getting traded. Jonathan Taylor doesn't want to be there. Jonathan Taylor has been given permission to seek a trade. And Hickey, which he never shies away from, had a bold prediction and a guarantee. Listen up.
This is Ryan Hickey of the Zach Gelb Show. The date is August 23rd, 2023. It is 8.04 p.m. Eastern Time on this Wednesday show. There is a negative 100% chance Jonathan Taylor in a week from now will be on any team not named the Indianapolis Colts. He is not getting traded, to pull Charles Barkley. Guaranteed.
Can you do me a favor here, Hickey? Can you say guarantee one more time? Because the voice, as Boomer Esiason once pointed out, was a very high-pitched voice right there. And I thought we were on the verge, if it didn't already, of having a little voice crack there.
Guarantee.
No, but say it like how you said it the other day.
I thought I did.
No, but at the end, you did high-pitch in the beginning, but at the end of the clip, that's where it really went to a high-pitch level.
All right, here we go. Try number two. 3, 2, 1. Guarantee.
Ah, you don't have the voice crack
guarantee.
At the end.
Guarantee. You want that? You want the tea?
But I always love, like, people, they got on Sean McDonough for this. But when he was the Monday Night Football play-by-play man, I thought it was great when his voice would crack, when he'd be like, touchdown! Or you have, like, Merrill Reese of the Eagles, whose voice always cracks as well. I love when a play-by-play announcer or a commentator or a talk show host in this regard is making a big point, and then you get just like a minuscule voice crack right there. So we've had a lot transpire here, Hickey. where I'll play Ian Rappaport in just a bit on the Pat McAfee show. But Josina Anderson is also reporting here that she was told at least two teams are still actively working to construct a trade for Colts running back Jonathan Taylor, respectively making substantial offers and are mutually willing to give Taylor a market contract per source. So that's one piece of information. Now let's get to information that falls in line with what Josina is saying from Ian Rappaport, NFL insider at the NFL Network, who was on the Pat McAfee show earlier today.
At this point, I would say it's probably more likely he gets traded than he stays. As long as the offer is good enough, I would say yes. So what does that mean? Well, Christian McCaffrey got traded for a 2 and a bunch of other picks. You know, I don't know. We'll see if they get that. I mean, it's all about market and need. And I think at that point, the 49ers were very motivated to deal for Christian McCaffrey. So that was what they were willing to pay. If Chris Ballard gets that, then I think a trade probably gets done.
So there you have one prominent NFL insider in Ian Rappaport, another prominent NFL insider in Josina Anderson, who are making your guarantee to not look all that great. And this is what I just said from the start, because I kind of was on your side, where I thought it was a 60% chance he would not get traded, 40% that he would get traded. But it was crazy to me how you thought there was a 0% chance, or whatever you ended up saying the other day, negative like 100,000% chance from Hot Take Hickey. So as we sit here on the eve of deadline day, and there's all these reports out there that makes you think that there's a legit shot or some percentage of chance that Jonathan Taylor could get traded by some point tomorrow, are you still at 0%? Are you doubling? Are you tripling down? Are you quadrupling down here where there is no way, no shot in your mind that Jonathan Taylor is getting traded and you're ready to go to war up against Ian Rappaport and Josina Anderson?
0.0. 0.00%.
Not negative, like you said last week.
We can go there. That's not even a real number. But right now, 21 and a half hours away from the quote-unquote deadline, 0.00% chance Jonathan Taylor is traded by this time tomorrow.
I would be like a fat kid in a candy store if I get a breaking news alert tomorrow. Jonathan Taylor has been traded for a second-round pick to whatever team you want. Because, man, that clip of you saying the date, 0% chance, negative 3,000% chance, that would be a lot of fun to have some fun at your expense tomorrow. I did a few wellness checks on you this weekend because I was concerned about you. I didn't like that you were all flustered last week and all concerned. You're walking around here like a nervous wreck. So I had to check in on someone that you're very close with, and that's your podcast partner in Georgia, Bremer. And what's the name of the podcast again? The Blue Horseshoe, right?
The Blue Horseshoe Podcast.
So I texted George, and I said, I pray that you are right, that JT gets traded, because I was listening to your podcast, and George thinks he's getting traded. I said, Hickey will lose it, and it will actually be fun to see, but I hope for his regard, and this is the part I'm making up, that he doesn't get traded. And he goes, Hickey is not doing well right now. So even George is realizing how crazy you're getting because of all these Jonathan Taylor rumors. And George is very, for people that do not know George, he's very even keel.
This is the thing. I am not the crazy one here. I am the sane one that I'm talking to a crazy audience to. And unfortunately, it's an audience of one. It's Jim Irsay. And maybe the Colts overall with Chris Ballard and whoever else. And Jonathan Taylor, maybe even himself as well. I am the one who's making sense here.
But Jonathan Taylor doesn't want to be there.
I am the one who's trying to actually preach common sense, and nobody's listening. That's what's making me delusional. Quote, unquote, allegedly delusional.
No. But here's the thing, though. You said 0% chance. You may be right that he doesn't get traded, but it's not a 0% chance. This guy does not want to be there. Your poverty franchise has not even made him a contract offer yet. Not even an offer. A lousy offer. Like, at least offer him $10 million a year, and you see how far apart you are. They haven't even done that. They haven't given a slap-in-the-face kind of contract offer. And he doesn't want to be there. So just because someone doesn't want to be there doesn't mean that you get traded. But a 0% chance, you got to admit that there's some percentage of chance here.
the difference is this. It's not he doesn't want to be there. He wants to get paid. And if the Colts aren't going to pay him, he wants to go somewhere else. If a team's going to trade for him and not pay him, you're getting the same Jonathan Taylor you got right now.
Well, Justina Anderson said that a team's willing to give him a market value deal.
If that's the case and that somehow comes to fruition, then he's going to be happy. But it's not a Colts, I hate Indy, I hate the Colts, I want to leave. It's I want to get paid, and I do think, just like Josh Jacobs, just like Saquon Barkley, if you're not going to come to a long-term extension with Jonathan Taylor now, which they're not going to do, you double his salary from $4.3 million to $8 million, he's going to be happy camper for 2023 at least, and then you kick the can down the road to next year and figure out some sort of contract then and see if he can play well in the system and is healthy. But if he's not traded,
hold on.
And he gets more money, he's still going to be happy.
He hates Jim Irsay because Jim Irsay isn't paying him. So therefore, he hates the Colts.
But if he gets paid, that hatred goes away.
But he's not getting paid in Indianapolis for this upcoming season because they haven't even gave him an offer.
But my point is, if no one else is paying him, it's not like he's going to run out the door and say, trade me no matter what. It's, oh, I'm not getting paid elsewhere. He's going to be upset no matter what. And that's part of the reason why if you're trading for him, you have to give him a new deal because that is what he wants. It's not like I want to get out of Indy, get me away from this team. It's get me paid.
And I think I think there would be at least one or two teams that would pay for him because of how young he is. I don't know if it is completely resetting the market, but if he's at least being realistic, I would have no problem. As I said before, four-year contract, $14 million a year, guarantee anywhere between $25 to $28 million, so basically is a two-year deal. I'd have no problem giving that to Jonathan Taylor. I would think there'd at least be one team out there that would give him something similar to those guidelines that I just threw out there for you. So we'll see how this goes. But man, please, 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 sports gods, just give me like 6:15 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow, the breaking news alert that Jonathan Taylor gets traded. Would you walk off the show just wondering? Would you need like a few hours to yourself? Because this is your guy.
I would not walk off the show. No.
Too bad.
I mean, the not getting the first round pick or getting given up the assets to go get number one overall with Bryson happened, what, half hour before the show? I was here. The Jaguars lost. I know it was 24 hours later in 2021 when they had a 99% chance to go to the playoffs and Carson Wentz blew it.
Yeah.
I was here. I will not walk off the show and leave you alone, but I will be very upset.
But you are a fraud. Here's why. And
I'm a fraud.
Yeah. And I think if he gets traded, it's all your fault. You made a bold kind of claim, or you kind of backed him. You were his supporter. You said every day you were going to wear this run the damn ball hat in support of Jonathan Taylor. I'm here every day. I think I've seen this hat one time. So I don't think you're doing your part and you're trying your hardest to make sure that Jonathan Taylor stays, because if I was you, I'd be wearing the hat every single day. I'd even sleep in it.
Well, that campaign unfortunately went to bed once he requested the trade. Then there was bigger fish to fry than just getting JT paid. So unfortunately, I gave up that battle and I will admit defeat in that he's not going to get a new contract before week one.
You're to blame. All right, some really interesting audio about Matthew Stafford from a very reliable source when we come on back. We are on Hickey Watch in terms of what's going to happen with Jonathan Taylor and so much more. Spencer Rattler, the star quarterback at South Carolina, going to join us at 7:20 p.m. Eastern, 4:20 p.m. Pacific. Carrington Harrison will join us to preview the Chiefs at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, 5:20 p.m. Pacific. And we will chat about the 49ers first and goal style with Matt Maiocco coming up in the final hour of the show at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So, Hickey, quick question for you. I believe you're in on the LA Rams this year. I know that you've said before that you're considering them to get one of the final wild card spots, a seventh wild card spot, which would be the third wild card spot, seventh spot total in the NFC. Is that still true, or are you out on them now?
Oh, and on the Rams, playoff team.
Even after the Kelly Stafford audio? Yeah, it doesn't concern you whatsoever?
No.
Okay.
No, it does not.
Yeah, this is the Hickey playbook. Double, triple down until he's proven to be wrong. Here is Kelly Stafford on the Morning After podcast that she hosts with Kelly Stafford, admitting that Matthew Stafford, her husband, can't connect with young teammates.
They have a lot of rookies on their team this year. They're very young. But he's like, I feel like I can't connect. In the old days, you would come out of practice, people would be playing cards, people would be interacting. He said now they get done with practice and they go straight to their phones. Like no one looks up from their phone. So Matthew was like, I don't even know how to, like, am I the dad? Do I take the phones? Like, what do I do here?
That's rough for Matthew Stafford. So you have to talk about things that go on at work with your wife. I don't think you have to discuss everything, but in some sort of conversation, when you're in this highly criticized public job, you need someone that you could blow off some steam to. You need someone that you could just tell things to. But Kelly Stafford, who I like a lot, has this successful podcast, and she's now talking about those conversations. And now this is going to become an issue. Because it's not like the Rams are this appealing team this year. You have a coach in Sean McVay that is 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Cooper Kupp's hurt. Aaron Donald's like the only player on that defense. And you got Matthew Stafford coming off an injury. Like there's some storylines there. But not a lot of people are talking about the Rams right now. And then Kelly Stafford gives this piece of information that Matthew Stafford doesn't know how to connect with the younger guys on the team. And it's a generational thing. Where, right, there's probably more interpersonal communication, even though Matthew Stafford's not like this old man, but when he was in the league compared to now, where every younger player 2-3 years or younger in the NFL was basically born with the cell phone in their hand. And when you don't have that cell phone, when you're in a team meeting or you're on the practice field, you feel as if you're disconnected from the world. And I do this all the time. Where if I leave my phone charging at home and I go run out and do some errands, like I'll check my pocket all the time. I'm like, I know my cell phone isn't there. Or if your cell phone actually dies, you have like this anxiety attack until it turns back on because you think you're missing out on all these messages or all these conversations. And Matthew doesn't know how to connect with the younger players because they were basically born and raised in, I guess you could say a different era and then also a different world. But the way that that's going to be talked about is Matthew Stafford can't connect with his younger teammates. And that's going to be a juicy storyline. And it kind of stinks for Stafford because it's his wife who is the one that releases this information. When Hickey, it'd be one thing if she was interviewing him and he just said it, right? He has been on the podcast before, but just for whether he approved it or not, for her to release this, if he did approve this, and I don't think that's the way that this works, then, man, like, Matthew Stafford, what are you doing? And if she's just talking about this, it stinks for Stafford. Because now this becomes, whether he likes it or not, or whether he thinks it's a big issue or not, this becomes a distraction for the Rams and a storyline for the Rams in the early part of the season.
Timing-wise, maybe what they need. If that's the truth, and you have training camp and no one's paying attention, look, this is the wake-up call you probably need then. Get blasted publicly. I think for me, the teammates look worse in this than Matthew Stafford does. If you're the ones buried in your phone all day and not willing to go the extra effort, this might be one of those last resorts where he may have told Kelly, say it. Get this out there. It's not coming from me. People obviously will know it's from me, but it's not, you're not saying it straight out.
That's directly.
And this could
be
the message that needs to get home to some of the younger guys of, hey, this is no joke. Let's get going here.
They have a tough start to their season for four opponents out of the first five. They're at Seattle, tough. San Francisco, tough. Two division games right out of the gate. Then you finally get a non-divisional opponent in Cincinnati against the Bengals. Then you get an easy-peasy team in the Indianapolis Colts in Indianapolis. And then you have Philadelphia. That takes you through October 8th on this season. Hickey, that is a brutal, brutal start for the Rams. And if they don't win games from the start, which is going to be tough to do, this is only going to get exacerbated, and there's even going to be more questions about this team because you know the piece is coming. Aaron Donald requests a trade, or Matthew Stafford contemplates his future, or Sean McVay, even though he just got that new contract, is thinking about retirement again. I feel as if those articles are already written, and they're just stored in the draft for all the people that cover the Rams, and you're just waiting and waiting and waiting for them to be published.
You hope this is a galvanizing moment because you said it's a tough schedule to start. bring them together. If not, yeah, it could be a very long year in L.A. You thought last year was bad and last year was long and maybe embarrassing after you're the defending champs and having a bad year. It's going to be even worse.
And also, I hate to say it, Ryan Jensen of the Buccaneers, just real quickly, because that's another team that you love. He's now going to be out for the year, and his career actually could be over because he's never fully healed from the injury that he suffered last year and came back for that playoff game. That's another blow to the Buccaneers. Two teams that you're thinking going to be perennial contenders. The Rams roster has just faded real quickly, and the Bucs, well, they lost Tom Brady as well, and now they're relying on Baker Mayfield. We'll take a break when we come on back. Notre Dame was fun over the weekend. I'm still concerned for one reason about USC.